Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. This is David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News, coming to you this evening on August the 2nd, 2021. I'm dealing with time today because time is very significant to me on this day, because the day just happened to be my birthday, my 70th birthday. And it took some doing for me to reach this objective, this age. And I keep saying me, but through the grace of God, I made it, you know, because I was like one of those people, unlikely. If you would have put me into a lottery, or if you would have put me in, you know, with a group of people that I came up with, and they would all would say, who would outlive each other? I probably have been the first one they selected who would not have made it. But that's just how things go, you know, when God is in control, you know, he calls the shot, so to speak. And so I want to talk about time because, you know, your time, my time, you know, some say it's very valuable. Some people take it for granted. But when you reach a plateau in life and you look back over your life, it seems like time goes pretty swiftly. But then all the people, all the years that you have accumulated, then you see that it kind of, you know, it just it's amazing how powerful the memory is, that it can take you places that sometimes you even forgot about. But in any case, before we get in discussion about time, because to me personally, time is extremely valuable. And I don't want to waste any more time because I still have a lot of work to do. But you know, you have to treat time just like everything else in life. You have to sort of schedule it out a little bit. You know, you need to take time for this, and sometimes you need to take time for that. You know, you need to take time for family. You need to take time for yourself. You know, and you need to put in some time to get things, to make things happen. But in any case, as always, we like to turn the call over to my partner, Brother Sataba Jahi, who always has something positive to say that inspire us and encourage us at the same time. And so, Brother Sataba, you got it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. And happy birthday to you again.
All right. Thank you, sir.
And, you know, I'm excited about the night show, because not only is it being David's birthday, but the second half of the show, we will be interviewing Mr. Joe Young, who is a cartoonist, and he has a very interesting cartoon comic character named Kemet. Kemet is an animated 10-year-old boy comic character who travels in time to inspire and motivate people about black excellence through stories and black history. And you can follow him at www.kemetcomic.com. And you can find out more about Mr. Joe Young at that website. Just as we do each and every week, we always open up the show with a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success, written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And it is a choice in terms of, you know, we want to become wealthy. I think about a famous saying by S.B. Fuller's mother, and some of you might remember him. He was the Fuller Brush Man. She told him at a young age, she says, "We are not wealthy because your father did not choose that as a path to pursue." So I guess that's what drove him to do what he did. And, you know, in his personal story, he talked about how he went out one night and he looked for a light and whatever shopkeeper had their light on, he was going to go in there and pitch them. And he did, and he became very, very successful from that. And you know, he was in Chicago at the time, and was able to get a lot done. So you can look him up, S.B. Fuller, Fuller Brush Man. Started off with them little, had Fuller Brush salespeople, used to sell stuff out of their briefcases. They had a briefcase kit, and, you know, he really was one of the people that, in the black community, that mastermind door-to-door sales. Let's get into our reading for tonight. Equal opportunity. Quote, if there is any equality now, it has been our struggle that put it there, because they said all people are created equal. They said all, it meant some. They meant white. All meant white. All means all, sweetheart. Be riches, actress. Reading for the day. We are not all born equal. Some of us are more blessed than others. Some individuals are born with much more going for them, wealthy parents, a thriving and supportive community, and a nurturing environment. Yet some individuals who hail from the most backward, discouraging beginnings have grown into outstanding examples of achievement in spite of the odds. Attitude is the answer. Your attitude towards your potential is either the key to or the lock on the door of personal achievement. Some of the world's greatest men and women have risen above adversity. Force him to shine shoes and he becomes a James Brown. Place him in a wheelchair and you have a Barbara Jordan. Confine him to a prison cell and they become a Malcolm X and a Nelson Mandela. Bury him in the frigid snows of the North Pole and you have a Matthew Henson. Raise him in abject poverty and he becomes a Booker T. Washington. Tear out his roots and you have an Alex Haley. Blind him and you find a Stevie Wonder. Allow sexual and physical abuse to ravage their bones and they become a Maya Angelou and an Oprah Winfrey. Tell her she's ugly and she becomes a Cecily Tyson. Tell her she can't write and you have an Alice Walker. Force him to the back door and he becomes a Thurgood Marshall. Call him a slow learner and you have a Benjamin Elijah Mays. Write him off as a fatherless black male, and he grows up to become a Benjamin Carson. He seals history, and you have a Carter G. Woodson. Spit on him, he becomes a Marcus Garvey. Steal his dreams, and he becomes Martin Luther King. In my study of those who pull themselves up, an attitude of success is the common denominator. Today, I can become great by developing an attitude of greatness. That is our reading for the day. Then we turn the show back over to David. And I want to thank those that's tuning in here on David's birthday today. And may he have many more. And I'm looking forward to next year when I turn 70. I'm excited about that and all of the prosperity that's going to come our way through the National Black Unity News. Back to you, David.
Okay. Thank you, brother. And, I appreciate you, the shout out for the birthday. And to me, yes, it is a milestone to reach the age 70. But at the same time, you know, it's, like you say, it's one day at a time. And that's how you, I guess, you get to this point. And, but like I say, as I reflect back over all those years, all those situations, the laughter, the tears, the joy, the heartbreak, the ups and downs, the in and outs, the people that you met, the people who came and the people who have gone. You know, I watched so many babies being born and at the same time, just as many were dying. And it's amazing how you travel through time or with time. And you see people that you play with as a child, and then you see them, you know, like me, got gray hair. There's several on the call with us right now who you watch over the years how we transcend from one lifestyle to another, you know. And So Tyree made a very powerful reading this today because I was really thinking about time today. And that's why I chose this subject matter. Because, you know, of course, time is important. You know, we don't get any more of it. You know, 1 minute is gone. Once the minute passed, that's it. You can remember the minute, but, you know, you can't retrieve it. You know, you can't use it again. And so, but you can learn from it. And just like all of those people, Satai, we met, you know, they had a little adversity in their lives, but they somehow turned it around. And I don't know about anybody else, but I think people need to understand that time is valuable. And I know because we think we have so much of it sometimes, we take it for granted. And as I sit here, like I said, on my birthday, here's August the 2nd, and I was born in 1951. And when I reflect back on that time, the time I was born, the area that I was born in, and I don't remember much at that time, but I do remember things when I was 3 and 4 years old. And I still vision, you know, that's one thing I have a very good memory. And I can remember how people used to dress, their mannerisms, the type of cars, and you know, even little simple things like the phones and you know, all sorts of the radios, how we used to, you know, how we used to watch the big old televisions and, you know, with the little screens and when it was black and white. And so many things go flashback through my mind. And now I'm looking at to where I'm at right now. The time that reflected from that part to where I'm at now, all the different things that was invented or even what you might say enhanced upon. And now men have been to the moon. You know, we had these things, cell phones. We have all types of things that, you know, microwave this and all types of surgery that man has done and cloning and all, you know, now private individuals running out in space and stuff, you know, so, and times move on. And so, but at the same time, you know, I had a grandson, my grandson called me early this morning and wished me a happy birthday. And he said, "How old are you, Pop Pop?" And I told him I was 7. And he just expressed himself and said, "Wow, that's a lot of time," he said. And then I looked at him, and it seemed like, to me personally, sometimes it seemed like, well, just yesterday when I was his age. But in any case, I want to have a conversation with you all, because some of you on here are past 70. Some of you are fastly approaching 70. You know, and we all spent our times in different forms and different ways. But in my case, time is very important to me because I personally think I have a lot to do. Well, there's a lot I want to do, put it that way. And because of the time that I spent on this earth and my experiences in life, I have a lot to share with people, especially people like I just mentioned, my grandson. You know, he found it amazing, just like I found it amazing when I used to listen to older people when I was a child about some of the things that they did in their area when they was young. And it was kind of like hard to believe because, you know, I never lived in those times. But now I understand. And so, but again, you took this time this evening to, you know, to be with us. And we want to, first of all, thank everybody who's on Facebook Live. And I'm going to start recording again because, you know, I wasn't even going to record this evening.
This meeting is being recorded.
I guess I will because, like I said, a lot of things is happening in Baltimore right now. And a lot of our members, I see Leroy has joined. He was out there as well along with Corinne Gaines. And they having a I don't know if you want to call it not a protest, but a presentation about her, and they, you know, gathering the troops together because they're having some, you know, little kickback from the, you know, from the city, the state, and they just don't want to do right by her. And give me one more second, and I'm going back to okay. See, that's another thing about time. You get forgetful sometimes, too, as you get older. But a lot is on your mind. A lot of memories. You know, it's a lot of space taken up when you get to this age. But in any case, I want to open up the discussion this night before. You know, Joe Young, he may or may not come on this evening. But he mentioned last week when he was on the call that he may break away from a previous call that he will be on and then join us. But I want to talk about time from your perspective because in my case, like I was just saying, that there's a lot to be done. I'm talking for me personally, I have so much to do, you know, and I take this time, you know, I don't want to be so, you know, so stingy with it that every minute has to count for this or have to count for that, because I do know you have to balance yourself in life. And I know you need to take a time, a little bit of time for family. You need to take a little bit of time for yourself. You need to take a little time for some of the things that you want to do. And you need to take some time to relax. But in my case, because of the experiences I have, and the thing that I currently see, that's what's going on. And I have a thing about black people. I mean, this is me personally. You know, that's kind of like my charge in life, you know, trying to, you know, bring us, you know, not going against any group or race of people, but I have a thing about black people where I believe that's, it's like, it's ministry to me. Is that I had that spirit of Marcus Garvey, Moses, and, you know, those things trying to set their people free. And I really believe that even in this great country that we live in, there's a lot of atrocities that take it, racism and everything else that's taking place. And that's being hurled at us from on the outside, but on the inside, we have been abused by propaganda and media and everything else, but, you know, about our images, our thought patterns, all this stuff, the school systems and everything else, if you look at it real carefully, it's a systematic thing that's taking place and that's altering the way we see things and really actually altering the way we think. And so I'm going to call some of you out this evening. Because some of you have been around longer than I have, or just as long as I have. And I feel as though at my age, I'm being said, it's not, you know, make no joke in there, but I feel like I'm just getting out of high school. I have so much ahead of me, the things that I want to do. But now, all the years have gone, and we have to look at things realistic too. Now, I don't know tomorrow. None of us know tomorrow is promised to us. But if we have 5, 10, 15, 20, one time that was just numbers. But now that stuff is too, at my age, is serious, you know, because most people don't live that long. And so so now you have to really consider, you know, what do you do with your time at this age? Do you give in, give up? Or do you just take it easy? Or you just, you know, do your thing and then do this and do that sometime. But I do recall a good friend of mine told me several years ago, a lady named of Mama Lola Jenkins, and you may have heard us speaking about her, but she was an activist here in Baltimore. And she was one of the ladies way back in the day introduced me to the cultural community because they used to also all take her and her husband to take all types of events. And we became real good tight friends. And matter of fact, Satawi, it was at your location, at your rec center at the time when she told me this, up at Rodney Heights. We were sitting at the table together, her and her husband, Ross Marcus. And I must mention to her something about, I'm thinking about stopping the newspaper and retiring and something from it. And then she looked me dead in the eye. And she expressed to me, and Lolo, a few years older than I was, probably about 7, 8, maybe even 10 years older than me. But, and Lola told me, she said, she looked me dead in the eye. And she said, you know what, David? She said, humans are only people, or only species on earth talks about retirement. And she mentioned an eagle. She said an eagle will always be an eagle to the day they die. They don't talk about retirement. And she says the same thing about the lion. She said a lion will always be a lion to the day he die. And he said, I strongly suggest to you that you soar and you roar as long as you can. She said, God has put something into you. And I see it manifested, and I encourage you to fight this fight, whatever fight you are fighting, until the day you die. And it resonates with me, and it stuck with me. And now I'm at that moment now, until the day I die, this cause is greater than me. And I do believe it's by divine inspiration, as I always tell you. But I also believe that God puts in every man or woman gifts, or a gift or multitudes of gifts. And I do believe that if you work those gifts or nurture those gifts will make a way for you, or not only just make a way for you, but be a contribution to mankind. And so, now as the season is dawning, like I say, many years has passed by, and I tried some things. You know, we bump our heads just like everybody else. You know, we try this and try this, but now I'm more laser focused now, because I see that some of them things was, you know. But the things I'm doing now with the National Black Unity News, the podcasting, the directory is more in line. All of it kind of lines up together. That's where I'm focusing on now. And so I'm going to open up this discussion, and I'm going to ask some of you some questions, because I really want to know. And I'm going to start off with you, Brother Leroy. Can you unmute yourself? Brother Leroy, if you can hear me, unmute yourself. Okay, maybe stepped away. Okay, is this Kim, Teaching Artists Institute? Can you hear me? Okay, she may be at work. Okay. Mr. Michael Thomas, can you unmute yourself, sir? Are you there? Okay, good. So I finally got somebody. Okay. I was beginning to think I was by myself today, you know. Yeah, but Mr. Thomas, how you doing tonight?
Good, good. And yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm still here. And so what I want to ask you, sir, was this. I know you have an agenda. You have some plans that you want to accomplish. And I know you have put some time into, you know, trying to accomplish some of these goals. And I do know you have a whole lot of other life experiences that, you know, you had to deal with over time. But, you know, like I said, I don't know how old you are. I have no clue of how old you are. But what I want to ask you is this. When it's come to time, you have a program called 1,000 Great Minds. And it's a powerful program. It's an astronomical program. When we look at, when people say they have a plan or something, you have a plan that's, you know, real big. But in time-wise, how do you see where you are right now based on your plan with time is concerned? Do you think you have enough time to achieve that goal that you had set for yourself with the 1,000 great minds?
Thank you for asking, David, and congratulations on your graduation to 7.0. I'm at 6.8 at this point, and I'm gratified for every day, you know, that I've experienced. When I was 40 years of age, 4.0, I realized that I was 7,300 days beyond 20 years, and that 7,300 days is 20 years, and I question how long does it take to learn? How long does it take to learn a single fact? And I don't think there's a more timely subject to talk about than time itself. And thank you for bringing the subject on, because I wanted to use as an epiphany the idea that time can be condensed. You can run 100 yards in a minute, or you can run in 10 seconds, you know, just based on your speed. So that's what I mean by time can be condensed, not just physically, but in such a way that it is it's not quite physical, but the time is condensed in within the time that you want to achieve something. I've been working on 1,000 Great Minds for about a dozen years, and I've not achieved that objective yet, but I still think that because of the internet, this third millennial, this top of the 3,000 years, you know, at the top of 3,000 years, and the first 20 years in those 3,000 years, that we are early on, and that we're going to see things happen in a more short period of time. And that's why I think that I can achieve this objective of getting this 1,000 Great Minds together, and also that we may execute this first edition of this nationwide housing program that enables every desiring person in the country, all 3,142 counties, to get this house in car, truck, van, or SUV debt-free. And for that reason, this is definitely a paradigm shift as it relates to time, because I'm talking about in two-year time frame producing enough money for someone to buy a house and a car, pay for it in one single lump sum full payment, and have no rent, mortgage, or car payment to pay whatsoever. So I look at time like that. That knowledge can condense time. It can make time faster, speed up the process. So that's my take on time. And thank you for reminding me and bringing that on, as I said, because it reminds me to intensify my knowledge, because if I get the right knowledge, I can advance more rapidly. And that's where I am.
Yeah, I hear exactly what you're saying, because, you know, when I started, you know, I've been on the internet since the inception of it, and it has turned my world upside down as far as time is concerned. You know, I used to have to physically go around, deliver newspaper, I had to physically go around to, you know, actually talk to, meet with people, discuss things over, you know. See, now you can do all that via the internet. You could have meetings, mass meetings such as this, and not only that, you can communicate all across the world right now without even leaving the comfort of your home. And so, you know, emails and all of these tools that's at our fingertips now is amazing of the accomplishments that you can do. Now, I wanted to bring one of the young, you know, brother Vernon. Can you unmute yourself? Now, I don't know what you have most of the people on here. I think Vernon may be about the youngest right now. Or maybe him and Leroy, Leroy might be a little older than he is. But Vernon, they can say, I don't know exactly how old you are. I have an idea. But when you look at people like me, you may say, well, you know, he's, you know, that's a lot of years, just, you know, maybe, you know, to, you know, reach that objective or something. And but it wasn't seemed like yesterday I was at your age bracket. And now 10, 15, 20 years has passed. And sometimes people, calculate their time and say, well, did I use it wisely or this, that? But, you know, wisdom, you know, I don't know how you put a price on that. But in any case, but when you're around people such as myself and some of the people on here that may be older than you are, and I know you glean from the wisdom and the knowledge and so that, you know, but again, when I was in your age bracket, there was some gentlemen and ladies that I knew of in Baltimore City that's in my age bracket now, that, you know, the age I am now. And I said, man, I have to do all of these things by the time I get to, you know, if I get to the age. And now here it is, and some of them things that I thought I would have achieved, you know, from my standpoint of view, have not been, you know, achieved yet. But they're still doable. And so when you see people like me, you hear us talking about time, you know, and now that you've been on this earth for some time yourself now, and you can look back 10, 15, 20 years too and see where you are today. And it can be a learning curve from where you are to where you, you know, where you possibly want to go. And so, I don't know if you want to expose how old you are, but given the time that you have now, because like I say, the Mars not promised to you either. No, that's like the promise to me. But just say, use me as a gauge at the age of 70. And you say, well, you know, you have a list of things that you want to do or something like this. Now, how do you see yourself where you are now and where you want to be in the future, and given the tools that you have and the people that you are around, if you use them wisely, what are some of the things that you think you can accomplish?
I think I can accomplish a lot because, like, you know, during your generation, I guess during the Black Power movement and stuff like that, you know, during that era was a strong era. You know, we had Martin Luther King, we had Malcolm X. And just taking the wisdom from you guys that's here and on this podcast, taking it as an example, you know, and seeing how you guys are living, you know, things that you guys are doing. And your mannerism and how you see the world, just taking, you know, accountability and just adding all those up to what I'm doing. You know, if I'm going a little bit too fast, you got, you know, see you guys slow down. If I'm slow and you guys speed up, then, you know, I'll look at that and speed up. But I think it's wonderful, you know, and happy birthday, you know, the brother that's 7.0, you know, 7.0. I think that's great. You know, I hope to live that long. You know, I plan on living that long. I'm 52 years old. But I see, you know, I see groups of people. I see people that's out in society, you know, that's not doing business or, you know, not trying to improve themselves. You know, just living every day, you know, and just living every day and not trying to add, you know, to the community or trying to help or develop as people. And I think that's great. You know, you guys are my inspiration. You guys are my example, you know, to what I can, you know, I have became or become and becoming.
All right. Thank you, sir. I'm going to bring a couple of ladies on. Kathleen Murphy, can you unmute yourself? Dr. Ortiz, you was asked about earlier today. and I want you to unmute yourself as well.
I'm muted.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you, lady, you know, carefully, I want you to go first. And I ain't going to ask your age. I'm old enough to know that. You don't do that. But But I do know that, you know, you've been around the block once or twice, and you have a lot of wisdom, and I don't think from my point of view, from where I sit, I don't think you wasted a whole lot of time. You know, you use your time wisely, not only to help yourself but to bless a lot of people, even in your career, and some of the things that you chose to do, especially about dealing with our children and, you know, the organization that you're in. And
yeah.
So, but I want to, you know, I just want to ask you this one simple question. Now, it's your time. So why do you choose to take your time, your personal time, their valuable time, and give it away?
Well, I think first thing, I have to reflect on the fact that someone helped me. A lot of people helped me. I didn't get to where I am today on my own. God first, my family. I had a close family. And I had a second mother that was an auntie. And, I mean, they did so much for me that I could never repay them or say thank you enough. And not that they were rich or had a lot of money. It wasn't the money. They weren't educated people, but they were God-fearing people, and they taught me about living, and they taught me to give, and I grew up seeing that. They had little. My neighborhood was one of the poorest neighborhoods in the city, but we were always giving to the community. If someone was without shoes, it was my mom and the group of missionaries that within a week, those kids had shoes, food, whatever the need was. It happened. And during that era, those women didn't work. I still cannot imagine how those pennies added up to do the things that they did. So I watched that as I grew up. So I do what I saw my parents do. And then secondly, there's such a need, such a void in this world. I had the opportunity to work in a grocery store, a small grocery store. We owned a grocery store and later on in life. And what I saw there was also, it was in a half of the area was poverty stricken. And I saw a lot there. And I made a commitment to reach out to the children around that time to help and do the things that I could. Reach out to those that were outside of my family. I always reached out to my family. But these were those outside of the family. And so I'm driven. I can't say no when it comes to the children. And I never will. I doubt if I'll ever give up that quest to reach out and help our youth. That's tough.
All right. That's fantastic. Dr. Wattis, how you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay. Now, Dr. Wattis is an educator. She's a community activist, and she's an author. She's a lot of things, and she continuously to move. She's a family person, and she does so much, you know, for so many. But Dr. Wattis, from my perspective, she's driven. But to me, personally, she has control over her life. But yet, it seems like she always taking her life and sharing it with somebody else, doing things for other people all the time. And so why do you do those type of things, Dr. Wattis, with your valuable time?
Well, let me tell you a little story. I worked as an officer at over at the college in the police department. And I used to have a lot of young people come in. And the irony of it all is that 10 years ago, a young man moved next door to me out here where I am now. I didn't even know who he was. And he was out there talking to my husband. And my husband said, he asked the last name, and he said, Wattis. He said, well, I knew a lady who works with me at Morgan. Her name was Wattis, and so he said, well, that's got to be my wife. So he came over, and he introduced himself and everything. He reminded me. He said, you know, when I came in at Morgan, I was 17, and you worked with me and about 10 other young people, and you showed us around the campus, and you took us to lunch. I didn't remember any of it. You took us to lunch because I did it so much, you know. And he said, and I never forgot that. Now, this same young man, every week he cuts my grass, he does my lawn, he does the whole 10 yards. And he said, this is called giving back. He said, you gave to me when you didn't have to. You fooled all those young boys and everything. And I just want you to know that I am so glad. And this is how I try to live. I still have a lot of young people whom I worked with at Sojourner. And I get all kinds of calls from them and all kinds of feedback from them and telling me, you know, something I said and something I did. And I don't remember saying a lot of the stuff that I did, but I guess I did. But they are so appreciative. And what I try to tell some of the people who've gone through and gotten these quote-unquote degrees, I didn't act like I was Dr. Watiz. I acted like I was me, because that title does not mean that you are that person. You have to be human. You have to act like you know, you know. And then when I was teaching at an elementary school, I still have some of those students who see my name on Facebook, and they say, that's got to be my Miss Watiz, you know. But like she was saying before, I came from that kind of a family. My grandmother raised me because I was a product of a rape. And because my mother was 12 years old and she was raped by a family friend, allegedly. And so I was a product of a rape. And I used to wonder why my mother was so distant and everything. And it wasn't until I was about 9 years old and it was explained to me what had happened and so forth and so on. And I said that when I get big, I'm going to try to protect a lot of children. I used to say that when I was a little kid. I'm going to try to protect a lot of children, and I'm going to give them all the love that they need, because I know how it feels to be neglected by a mother. Mm. But I had to learn how to understand where she was coming from. She didn't hate me. She hated the act that brought me into the world. But later on in life, she lived in New York for a long time, and someone called me and told me that she was not doing well. So my husband at that time got in the car, took me to New York, and we picked her up, and we brought her down here to Baltimore. And it was a strange relationship at first. And I remember one day we were out off of Washington Boulevard in the store, and she looked around at me, and she said, you're my daughter. You're my daughter. And I had children at that time. And I said to myself, and yes, you're my mother. And we began to bond at that time. It was a strange relationship, but it grew to be a mother-daughter relationship in later years. So I learned a lot about life through all those things that happened to me. I learned how to love. I learned why to love. I learned when to love and who to love and who needed it. So that's about it.
Wow, that's great. And you know, that brings me to remind me of another gentleman. Donald, are you available, sir? Donald Dowridge.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Now, Donald has some, like, not the similar story, but he had a pretty rough upbringing. And I want to ask you the same question, sir. You know, you could be doing a lot of things with your life. But yet you chose the type of field that gives back and inspire and bring hope to people after you've been had such a real with turmoil kind of upbringing. Why do you take your time to give time to so many?
Well, first and foremost, I have to say that the blessings are real because I was totally destined for a life of destruction. Knowing that today is your birthday, happy birthday, my brother.
Thank you, sir.
And I don't know if you heard your voice message that I left for you. I called you earlier and left you a message, a birthday message. So if you get a chance, check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back on point, as the young lady who, Dr. Watiz, if you will, I hope I didn't mess it up.
Watiz.
Watiz, Sorry about that. You know, as she's had many people who, many young people who she's helped in her days who are 360 coming back around and, you know, acknowledging her and thanking her and doing deeds for her. I've had many who have come to me who lives that I was blessed to touch, to inspire and to uplift, to come back and acknowledge with thank yous, gratitudes, and what have you. And even to the point that one young man told me, well, I remember that I used to take them to the movies. After the movies, I would take them, we go have pizza parties. I'd take them to the zoo, to the pool and what have you. And as a matter of fact, he was part of my group back then, which was KDIWD, Kids Doing It Without Drugs. And a few years ago, at the age of, I think, 35, 36 years old, he say, Mr. D, you remember when you told us X, Y, Z? And I said, brother, I hate to admit, but I don't remember. I don't remember. And he said the strangest thing to me that I will never forget. He said, sir, what you told us was not for you to remember. You were the messenger. It was for us to remember.
Mm.
So don't feel guilty if you don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember. That's the main thing. And I can't tell you how many young brothers who have come to me with tokens of gratitude to show me. Basically, that's God just showing me that, yes, because I'm doing his will, this is the payoff. This is how I'm going to pay you back. Now, I'm going to share something with you that was shared with me today. Today, I don't know if you can see this. All right? That's a calculator. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the other picture. All right? This is what, I don't know if you see what it says on the back there. It says DLD Junior 1981. So when I pulled it up, I thought it was my Social Security number. I'm like, who got my Social Security number?
Mm-hmm.
So when I called, it was my former brother-in-law telling me that, asking me, you remember this? And I'm like, no. He said, you gave me this back in 1981 when I got my first job at Haverty Furniture Company. I said, what? He said, yes. He texted me this today. He said that he was cleaning out his garage and he ran across that. So going back to when a gentleman told me when I was like 16, 17 years old, he said, son, boy, you better get it together or you won't even see 21. And I got in his face. Matter of fact, I took my finger. Now, keep in mind, I'm 16, 17 years old in the South Bronx, and this finger up against his head like this and saying, oh, man, you better step off, because if you don't, I'll take you out. And furthermore, I don't care about a 21. I'll die right now. And here I am, knowing that today is David's birthday, but in a couple of months, I'll be 65 years old. And when I look back at that moment, I say, wow. And just the mere fact of all the achievements that has been gained over the years, simply because I made an oath with God that if I had to die, which I will die, I don't want to die a problem. I want to die a solution. And when I'm able to look around at other people and their life, and like this young brother here who said he's 50, but he looked like he's 20, Vernon, you know, when I listen to him and the mere fact of him saying that he's listening to elders, and even I listen to elders. I got some elders here in Tampa who I respect to the utmost. And some of those elders are gone now. Their time is up. They left. but I still can revert back. I can think back to them taking me under their wings and educating me about the path that I was heading down in reference to being a motivational speaker. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but I didn't start off as a motivational speaker. I started off as a singer. And then I had a production company, Donald D. Production. And then I had singing groups, a couple of young ladies that were singing. Matter of fact, one of the young ladies made it to the Apollo Theater Amateur Night because I taught her how to sing and how to perform and how to grace herself on stage with, and all this stuff I learned from, you ready for this? From watching Motown. So I learned all those tools and I shared those tools, you know, because I love music and dancing and singing. So, and then I shift gears from the music world, if you will, to the motivational world, to the writing and what have you. But I use all those tools to help others. And I'll never forget on my knees in my apartment when I first started into the motivational world. And I said, Lord, I know this gift that I have. I can make millions of dollars with it because I've seen others out there doing it. But I would like to use this gift with your permission to help those who are less fortunate, those who are struggling, those who are under the poverty line, those that have no aspirations, and those that can't even see tomorrow.
Mm.
Because I know what it feels like because I've been there. And I wanted to be able to be a beacon, if you will. It's like when you look out on the ocean and you see that light out there, that lighthouse out there with that light just going around in circle, lighting up the area. Lord, if you could just allow me to be a light such as that. Until you call me, I will do it. And I will say this, David, as I progress into my 65th year, that having the opportunity to inspire, to motivate, to touch, and to have a voice that travels beyond and travel the earth in spots that I will never physically venture into is a gift that, going back to my teenage years, going back to those foster homes, going back through all those abuses that I've been through, I would never in all of my wildest dreams could have imagined what my life has ventured through. My last thing is that in 1968, matter of fact, believe it or not, August 16th, 1968, and we are about to approach August the 16th, 2021. I would say a week before that time, when I was living in Catonsville in my last and fifth foster home. There's only a few things that I remember about this foster home. One was that they had an outhouse. They didn't have a bathroom in the house. The bathroom was in the back, outside, and it was in a wooden shack. That was the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And some of us remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the next thing I remember when I got to that foster home, you know, when you have those Sunday dinners and you had the Thanksgiving dinners and Christmas dinners, I'll never forget this one incident of us sitting at the table about to have dinner. And please allow me to share. As I was sitting there on the end, the foster father said the grace. After the grace, you know what happens, right? All you hear is plates, spoons, conversation, et cetera, et cetera. And I sat there on that end with my head down, looking down at the floor. I was looking at the floor because I was looking for my pail, P-A-L-E,
right?
Because this previous foster home that I was in, which was my fourth foster home, right? They forbid me to eat human food for 9 months. The food they fed me was Alpo dog food.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked. Even after I've got left that foster home, I still was looking for my food in a dog pail.
Mm-hmm.
The foster mother, she came up to me, and she put her arms around me as I was sitting there, and she said, "What's wrong, baby?" And I just sat there with my head down. And the more she talked to me, the more tears came out of my eyes because I was frightened to speak. I was shy. And I was just burnt out. I was just done. You know, the only thing I could see was death. And she said, she told them to bring the food, put the food on this boy's plate. And I was scared to eat. I thought it was a trick. You know,
mm-hmm.
if I eat it, they were going to scald me,
mm-hmm.
beat me, terrorize me. And when they put the food there, I must tell you, this was like a light moment because the aroma of the food was going up my nostrils.
Mm-hmm.
And as it was going up my nostrils, you know, it was hard for me to resist.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally got into the food, I was like a dog who was seriously hungry. You know, when you try to take the food from a dog and the dog go, "Arr!"
Mm-hmm.
I had got to that mode. And the foster father, I can hear him now saying, "Slow down, son. Ain't nobody going to take your food." I mean, I was just going at it. Mm-hmm. And I got to the point where I was licking the plate. I remember that to this day. But when they came to me a week before August 16th, they said, "Donald, you're going home. Your biological father is coming to get you and take you home. You're going to home with your father." Well, quite naturally, I had mixed reactions. You know, I was happy on one end and puzzled on the other end. That night, I went to sleep, or I tried to go to sleep, but I was, you know, anxiety was taking over. And all I could see was grass and maybe one house. My dad lived in New York in the Bronx. You know how big New York is?
Mm-hmm.
But all I could see as a 12-year-old boy or 11-year-old boy was just land and grass. That's all I could see. I had no idea about tall buildings, subways, L's, Empire State Building, none of that stuff, Statue of Liberty. All I saw was grass.
Mm-hmm.
So I say all that to say that at that point, I didn't have a vision. I didn't have a reality. I didn't know about a tomorrow. I didn't know about the sun coming up or the rain or whatever that was going to happen that next day. I didn't know about school for that next year. I didn't know anything because I was in that bubble of destruction,
mm-hmm.
that bubble of abuse, that bubble of question marks. And now here we are, X amount of years later, as an old man, if I could use that term, and from where I come, from once I come,
mm-hmm.
to where I stand, and the achievements that have been made throughout the days, you know, to paraphrase what David said, you know, when you get to this point in your life and you look back, you know, sometimes you have to question yourself, how did I make it?
Mm.
Well, quite naturally, how did I make it? The answer comes by the grace of God.
Amen.
I couldn't have made it. I couldn't have done everything that I've done and what he's continued to allow me to do without the commitment. Now, please understand, everybody that's listening to me, we all have one thing in common besides the fact that we're black and we're going to pay taxes. But the other thing is we're all the same because of the fact that, guess what? We're human beings. And if you're human, you will not escape this life without trials and tribulations. My pastor, the great Arthur Jones, bless his soul, he told me, he said, "Donald, because you have given your life to Christ, the devil is upset, he's mad, and he wants you. And he's going to do everything he can. He's going to use you if he can. He's going to use your kids and everybody to try to get you back in his army. And it's been a testament. It's been a journey. And it's been a trial. But I testify that I'm still standing.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about.
And I'm trying to, as I told David in a conversation, I believe it was yesterday, when he said, tomorrow's my 70th birthday. And I said, David, I got to let you know, my brother, I'm 5 years behind you. And I'm don't you stop. Because if you stop, bro, I'm going to pass you by. You see what I'm saying? So it's glorification, and it's a happy moment. You know, I humble myself, even though David asked me, but I humble myself to acknowledge David Murphy and those other David Murphys out there who at 70, they're not laying down. They still accepting, and they still moving forward with the charge that they've been given in their life. And they're going to charge on until that last breath. And even after that last breath, because of the work that has been put in, the body might disappear from us, but the breath, we will continue to breathe it because of the marks that have been made by all the David Murphys in our lifetime. So I say that with an ending of God bless you, David Murphy, and happy birthday, my big brother.
Oh, thank you, sir. Man, that's powerful. Matter of fact, everything what you all said is powerful and encouraging, because, like I say, you all took your time, your valuable time. Even though you had some rough times, you took those times, and now you're serving others. And you know, we got a couple more minutes left, but I want to bring a couple more people back on. Brother Satavi,
yes,
can
sir.
You reach us up? You know, brother, you know, now you just heard Brother Donald speak about, and you also heard Dr. YT speak about some of the upbringing that not only they went through, but, you know, their parents and everybody else went through. But you and your wife, you know, over here, this is how I met you.
You are muted. You can mute or unmute.
You were unmuted. A young man at the time when I met you, because I was a young man. And but yet you took time to invest into children. And I'm actually just like I asked everybody else, why did you choose to take your time to invest your time with strange children that you didn't even know? They, you know, some kind of way they came.
Well, as I used to tell the children, I said, because somebody made it possible for me, I need to make it possible for them. So I always saw it as a way of giving back. And, you know, and that became the beacon call for you know, the things that I've done and have did in life. And so wherever I went, I always found a way to connect with the younger generations and be able to share wisdom with them. And as Donald said, you know, hey, you know, young man told him, said, you know, that what you share, said, yeah, you might have forgot it, said, but it wasn't for you to remember. It was for us to remember that the lessons that you taught us. And so, you know, I got a lot out of what Donald shared in terms of his testimony. But, you know, the biggest reason was, you know, that whole giving thing, man, of just, you know, giving back, you know, because someone made it possible for me. You know, I remember the older people who, you know, for whatever reason, took me under their wing to pass wisdom on to me. So I saw it as my duty to pass wisdom on to the younger generation that was coming behind me. And that's what led to several different things of the play that we wrote. I remember when I first moved back to Baltimore after living in New Orleans, you know, and living in the village. And, you know, it was like at night you could go out on the corner of Emerson and Loudoun, like 11, 12 o'clock at night. And, you know, open-air drug market. It was like a flea market. I'm saying, okay, well, why the police don't why the police don't do something about this? You know, and so I had to come up with a program for the youth, because that's what led to my entrepreneur development program, was that youth, while, you know, trying to make some quick, fast money so they could buy a dirt bike at the time. Now, they didn't buy a dirt bike. That, you know, the drug dealer would give them a dirt bike. And I was, you know, the thing was for me was like, okay, well, wait a minute. How do you give them a dirt bike? Your parents don't know that, you know, they got a dirt bike. They didn't pay for it for them. Because when I was growing up, you know, you couldn't bring nothing home that your parents hadn't bought for you. So that was one of the first things that really, you know, threw me off guard. You know, hey, they would buy them a dirt bike. And I never forget one day behind Emerson North Shop Center, you know, I have to stumble across some young people, and they'll tell me, hey, Mr. Jai, what are you doing? We drinking Top Shelf. I'm like, y'all drinking Top Shelf? They drinking Cavazier. And I'm like, Top Shelf, huh? So it was a big disconnect, you know, with young people, just as there's a big disconnect right now with young people out there doing all kind of crazy stuff. Like Donald said, you know, Elder pulled him up, and he told the elder, he said, you know, you better get out of my privacy. Probably told him, you better get that out of my face. He said, because I ain't afraid to die, and I kill you. So, but, these things are so important, because each generation must, as Frantz Fanon said, must find his mission and either fulfill it or betray it. You know, and the mission of my generation coming out of the 60s was to pass on to the young people coming behind me a philosophy of revolution. So the philosophy of revolution at that time was, since I got involved with Kyle Eden, was the Culture Revolution. You know, and that, you know, we need to make sure that they learn culturally how to distinguish what they did from, you know, other people. You know, there's two things, popular culture and national culture. Popular culture is the everyday stuff that goes on in our communities. National culture is such things as Kwanzaa, Marcus Garvey birthday, Malcolm X birthday. These are the things that shift the culture paradigm in our communities. And, you know, and all young people, one of my things was that all young people needed to know about Kwanzaa. So that's one of the reasons we taught Kwanzaa at our culture center, you know, to make sure that they was brought up in the culture so that they could be able to, you know, to pass on to other people, you know, and to this day, these young people that came out of that experience, well, they in their 30s now, you know, they still celebrating Kwanzaa. But, you know, it was that Kwanzaa was introduced to them during that period, you know, and so they, you know, they proudly tell people, you know, yeah, I learned about Kwanzaa from Mama and Baba Jahi. And so, you know, I'm happy for that legacy that we left with those young people. And getting back to the point, thus, I had to come up with an entrepreneur program, because that young people was out there doing what they was doing to try to find some fast ways to make money. And, you know, and I never forget, we had several news, you know, the Informer newspaper. We had a program where they sold Dale Corby's pizza kits in a box. And, you know, they made money from that. But the whole thing was to teach them another way to earn dollars, to earn money. And so, you know, we took a pride upon ourselves to, you know, to deal with the whole entrepreneur development piece. And then when I left from Baltimore, when I got to Rocky Mount, I built a program called the Young Adult Business Builders Academy. And, you know, we only graduated 4 young people from that program. They learned a lot, you know, people from the when the Rocky Mount Chamber of Commerce came to their graduation. And you know, they learned a lot, you know, even though people that were supposed to help us with that program trade us in the end, some monies that was involved, and young people never saw the monies that they were supposed to get to help them move on to the next level of the program. And we had we were supposed to get a commitment from Mr. Herman Boone, because Preacher was connected to Herman Boone, and Herman Boone was supposed to fund the second phase of the program, but that didn't happen. So, just left a bad taste in my mouth and also my wife's mouth. And but nevertheless, those young people, we helped them accomplish a lot with the personal development, the self-esteem, things that took them to the next levels of their life. And so, that was the main reason why I did do the things that I do and have done and continue to
do. All right, sir. I appreciate that, because I know you've done quite a bit. But, time is running out on us, and I'm going to get a couple more people in there. Daniel, Mr. Daniel White, you got a minute? If you unmute yourself, sir.
Yeah, I do.
And Daniel also is working with youth and people in the sports arena. And I just want you to take a 3 minutes, then I'm bringing Mr. Murphy on. If you can share just 3 minutes about some of the things you do and why you do it with your time, sir.
Happy birthday, David.
Thank you, sir.
16 more days, I'll be 70.
Oh, boy. Right, but you mean you're running neck and neck, huh?
Great experience. Just short, I'll try to be short and brief. As most of you know, I'm living for student athletes. That's my pet peeve for the rest of my life. As Don said, that's until I go home. Having been individual growing up, teaching the blind, paraplegic, autistic, mentally challenged, Down syndrome individuals to swim, recreation, athletic programs, and then going through the challenges I went through as John 11:16 talks about, we'll have trials and tribulations, be of good cheer, for I've already overcome. To keep on going as a student athlete, I simply ask God to give me something that I can give back, and no other child has to go through what I went through. And I have the National Student Athletic Society that I've been working on for 34 years, bringing it to fruition, working with student athletes from every walk, from elementary through high school, and some college individuals, train them on how to be mentors to meet the needs of student athletes mentally and physically, what I went through. So it's kind of short and brief. It's all outlined in the book, Grace Through the Struggle, that is soon to be coming out, hopefully. And then the article in the paper, as you see, talks about some of the things, why I work with these individuals. This mental illness has been going on since I started back in 1983. Now it's coming to fruition. It's on the platform. The National Black Unity News has given me the platform to help expound on it from all those individuals that are handicapped, that have gotten injured on the fields, to help build the country of student athletes in high schools and colleges. All of you watch sports, they're all student athletes, every last one of them. They're helping build this country. You see the Olympics, student athletes, every last one of them. So now the mental illness is coming out, and I'm glad, because they do carry a load. So and that's why I give back, David. So
I appreciate you for that, too. Mr. Walter Murphy, can you unmute yourself, sir? Okay. Mr. Murphy, Now, I know you for a long time, and, you know, you always giving back and working with people. If it's not family, it's socially. And so why do you do that, sir? Why do you take your time after you served your time in the military and made a career out of it, then you still find time to give back? Why?
Well, David, you know, I'm one of those old school, new school kind of guys. Old school, hard, you know, grew up on the streets, this and that and the other, two-time war veteran, all of that. You know, yeah, okay. And that's made me rough and tough around the edges. But I got to tell you something. Life is about time. Only way that you can measure it. From the day that you're born until the day that they put you in the grave, and a little dash in the middle, everybody knows what that means. But the point is that it is so short. But the key is that most of us miss the mark. And when I say missing the mark, it is so simple. Life is really, really, really simple. One of the reasons that most of us get up in the morning is because we just did. Don't know why. But your body knows that there's joy in sleeping and there's joy in waking up. And so where I'm going is that it's all about how you feel about life. If you feel as though that life is really beating you up, is because that's the way you think. If life is made a wonderful way for you, it's because in the back of your mind, you know that early on before you got that good thing, you thought it. It's kind of crazy, but it's all about how you feel about something. Where I'm going is this. Since I have been born, I have always seemed to try to find the good out of most things. And because of it, this life has become a beautiful thing. When I say become, you have to learn how to appreciate what you already have. And when I say that, I already mean it. You got to appreciate what you got. You know, you're breathing. Some of you eat well. Some of you don't eat so well. But, you know, you're eating. Some of you got to place something, you know, to lay your head, this and that and the other. And the key is that all of those things are gifts and blessings. And so where I'm going is that when it comes down to time and birthdays and all that kind of stuff, I look back on this past 70 years of someone called David Lee Murphy, who I've seen all of his life. And I got to tell you that one of the things that I have found about him is that he finds a lot of joy in so many different things. If he did not find joy in the people and the things that he did believe, life would not be the same. And that goes for each and every one of you. And once you decide that you want to make your life just a little bit happier, you, at the end of it, and this is what it all boiled down. I remember being 15 years old, and they said, it's not what you do in life and all that kind of stuff. It says, what do you remember when you get old? What do you remember? Because that's all you're going to have. Nobody ain't going to be with you, what it used to do, all that, you know, singing, dancing, running the streets, just all that stuff goes away after a while. Believe me, ask anybody over 50. A lot of that slows down. But the point is this, that time is all that you have. It is the most precious commodity that you'll ever possess. And if you don't find joy as much as possible, you are missing the point. That's the reason why you are here. Fulfill a desire that is filling as far as joy is concerned. You are responsible for your own joy, and then once you start realizing that you can make a wonderful life. And when I say that, I know it's getting short. When I say that, yes, there's going to be, you know, death and misery and frustration, confusion, all that stuff is going to be. The question is that it's going to affect you, no question about it. When you see a little cat hit by a car, it's going to affect you. It does. But the question is how long will you stay in that position? Your job is to find joy as much as possible. And David, I find joy in celebrating your birthday. Congratulations. Happy birthday, team.
Thank you, sir. Well, you know, we're going to close. I'm Leroy. I don't know. I've been trying to get you earlier. I don't know if he's still available. Can you speak? Okay. Yeah, he's still. Okay.
Well, no, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I've been trying to get you earlier. You know, you do a lot of things. You're always serving. And you're extremely busy. Like I said, you make me tired. And I just so you know, I just want to ask you the question in closing. Why do you take so much of your time and give it to so many others?
Well, first and foremost, I want to say happy birthday, big brother. Happy birthday to you. but the reason that I serve is, and I heard this evening at the Corinne Gaines rally tonight. She's speaking. And I liken, I forgot the gentleman that was saying it, but he said it's not a job, he said it's a mission. And it's about being passionate about wanting to see others to do better, to see others do better, be better, in that realm. You know, just having a passion for people, a love for the community, and just being, want to do my part in making this world we live in better, making myself better, making people better that that have an encounter with me. And I'll sum it up like that.
Okay. Well, let me say this in closing to each and every one of you. I ask you this question about time, your time, and how you spent your time, and how you know not only spent, but you gave up your time to be a blessing to other people, each and every one of you. And but let me say this in closing. I thank, you know, all the birthday wishes, but you know, when it comes to time, you know, I look at it this way, because God blessed us with time. He blessed me with time. And I believe God is the only one who gives you, allots you a certain amount of time. You know, a lot, the time to be born and the time to die, you know, and what you do in between those times. But I do know this. There's no greater gift that I can see that a person could take their time and to share their time to be a blessing to somebody else. And you know, and that's why God say, you know, it's like the gift that keeps on giving. You know, you can receive all, you know, all the things, you know, everything you can receive, but when you give and you give from your heart, you know, it's priceless. I mean, it's truly priceless. And each and every one of you that's on this call tonight, and I'm saying this in all sincerity, I'm one blessed man even to share this day with each and every one of y'all, because I do know that you're giving people. I do know that you have issues that you have to deal with yourself, but yet you still, in spite of whatever you go through, you still find time to give to someone else. And I think that's the greatest gift on earth that you can do with each other, you know, and we are our brother's keepers. And you know, just like you all said, y'all all said somebody so seasoned to you all. And in turn, you do the same thing, and now people are coming back. It's reciprocal. They come back. But I want to share this one more thing in closing. You know, I ask, like I said, I'm very inquisitive about who I am, because I think I'm one of the most, I don't know, like some people say mixed up or but I'm just into self, because I'm always curious about self. I always wonder why you do the things that you do. I wonder why people do the things they do. I wonder, even question God, why you do the things that you do. I'm just curious like that. And I found out something, you know, this, I got up early this morning. I was sharing this with my brother early. And I say, David, why do I call myself a servant of servants? I like serving people that serving other people, just to assist them. Because y'all, you know, you can get to a lot of places by doing that. But, you know, I say, now, where did this come from? And I know everything comes from God, but I wanted to know. But, you know, my mother, she's one of the most givingest person I ever met in my life. I'm not just because she's my mother. I'm talking about, see, my mother was the type of person. She had 8 children, actually 9 of us. But, you know, all of us had friends, you know, and most of our friends, we was like a neighborhood in the area. And she could get along not only with my friends, my brother friends, anybody's friends. They, this phone is going up. I don't know how to turn it off, guys. But in any case, my mother was well received everywhere she went, because she knew how to treat people. People, you know, in return, she is like the neighborhood mom. You know, everybody come up, you know, they don't say, how you doing? They, how your mom first, you know, before they see how I'm doing. And I tell my mother this. I say, Mom, I wish I had just a little bit of what you have. And she said, yes, David, you have. She tell me, I would say you do. And I don't spend a lot of time with my mother. She ain't that far away from me. And I used to be curious about that. And now I understand because, you know, I'm a seed of her seed. And what she did, the same thing she did with me, my family members, and everybody else, she spread love. And that's what I do. And so, you know, what greater gift can you give to somebody is when you take that seed and you make that seed grow and multiply. And that's what I do. And, but, you know, I would have nothing to grow or multiply if it wasn't for people like you. See, you are the ones that's in my life that I see in all different stages of life, always giving. You find a way of giving. And see, and what greater gift to see that, you know, even to see it, because we all know what goes on in this world, all the atrocities, all the hate, all the self-serving. But then if you look and then you see people like yourselves who don't have to, none of y'all don't have to do any of these things, but yet you do it anyway. And see, to me, that's the greatest gift on earth, because it's just for me to even see it. That's why I say I'm one blessed man. Because no matter what, and all of you come from different walks of life, all of you do, but yet you still find time. And this is not a collective thing. We do it collectively, but y'all do this on an individual, but y'all do with or without the spotlight on you or not. Yeah, it's just in your nature. And being around a nature such as y'all's, only thing it does is helps me to grow. And so I just want to thank each and every one of you for taking time, you know, be, you know, with us this evening and sharing on Facebook Live and sharing on, you know, and recording it and on Zoom. Because sometimes in this rush day and people rushing here and there, sometimes we forget the basic principles of life, and that's love. And the only reason why you do this, and I believe in your heart, is because, you know, God has blessed you, each and every one of you, and you taking that blessing that you share, and you sowing seeds all over the place. And I just want to say thank you, because y'all is the greatest gift, man. I'm serious. Just being around people like yourself, because it keeps me going. And to know, when you see the news, you see all the stuff goes around you. And I say, I know personally, this whole world ain't nowhere near like that, because I'm around a whole circle of people who hearts are full of gifts. And, you know, I'm talking about multi-talented. I mean, from all different perspectives. And yet, y'all find time. And y'all have family, and y'all have all the other stuff going up, but yet y'all still find time to give. So I just want to say thank you, and I'm going to say good night to each and every one of you, to you on Facebook, to those of you on Blog Talk Radio. And this was, you know, like I said, this wasn't really planned. It was just a spur of the moment conversation that I just had thought of, you know, coming on. And like I say, man, this is just a blessing just to know y'all. And so keep doing what you're doing. Keep giving, because people need you, and they need to know people like you. I'm serious. And thank God for the National Black Unity News, because all of y'all are editors or one way or form involved with the publication. And we spreading that word more than one way, not on formats such as this, but on other formats and even on your own formats that you're doing. And so thank you, Brian, for sharing the paper. And so we say thank you, and I'm going to say good night. And to remember, tomorrow night we'll be on there with host Kathleen Murphy and Walter Murphy will be hosts. We always have good news, good information about how we can keep this blessing going. And things are looking up. And on Wednesday night, we're going to be dealing with the podcast, and I'll send out the link to that, because a lot of things, Daniel, as I say, tomorrow morning, I'll send you your information. And so we're getting all the basic information. And maybe in a week or two, we'll start seeing some production starting up. And so so I'm excited about all of that. And so we just moving on up, and we keep moving out, and we keep on blessing. And so, you know, we can't help but, you know, but win. It's a winning situation just to be a blessing. So thank you, Donald. Thank you, Mr. Walter Murphy, Vernon, Mr. Daniel White, Leroy McKenzie, Dr. Ortiz, Kathleen Murphy, and Brother Satavi Jahi. I appreciate you all.
David Murphy.
So much. And y'all, thank God. God bless.
David
Take
Murphy.
Care of yourself, man, and keep doing what you're doing. Because what you're doing, man, is right. I'm sorry. It is right. Thank you.
David Murphy. David Murphy, can you hear me?
Okay. Good night.
David Murphy.
Don, I can't hear you.
I was going to say happy birthday.
I don't know, you're something else to speak or something.
Happy birthday to you.
And happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
I don't say it in the mouth, but I can't hear.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're saying happy birthday to you. Okay.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, sir.
Have a
blessed
day.
Y'all take care
now.
Dr.
Ortiz? Yes.
Right.
Ortiz? Yes.
This is Kathleen. Look
take
for
care.
Goodbye.
good night, and join us again next week for another edition of the National Black Unity News Podcast. And I'm wishing David a very happy 70th birthday. All right. Take care. Thanks for listening.